All right, good morning. To the half a dozen of you, I think we all should just get in a circle here, like Susie said, and just talk. Well, welcome to Community Initiatives in Preventing Vision Loss and Promoting Eye Health. I'm Susan Primo, the moderator. I hail from Atlanta, where it was much warmer than it is right now. Anyway, we put up this slide right before Dr. Wilson's presentation, and hopefully you had a chance to deliberate, but it really is going to give a summary of what this talk is. We really tried to integrate everybody's talk into one cohesive presentation that makes sense. So there's a little bit of an order change than what's in your booklet, but we've got the order change here. I am going to ask just one thing, that we're going to do questions at the end, so if you do have any questions, and I hope you do, please reserve those till the end, till all the speakers have finished. So at sort of at 12 o'clock there, Dr. Wilson, who is Vice President of the Health Center Program at New England Eye Institute at the New England College of Optometry, is going to really lay the theoretical concept for this slide that we're talking about. You notice the health home and patient-centered care is at the middle of this continuous circle, and so he's going to lay the theoretical foundation by talking about some of the social determinants of health. And then next will be Lori Berry, who will actually be the person that walks the walk or walks the talk, however you want to say that. She is a CEO of the Lynn Community Health Center in Massachusetts. And so she's going to talk a little bit about the major role that community health centers have for primary, secondary, and tertiary care. And then she's going to talk about how her community health center program has implemented and delivers care for vision care, as well as just addressing health disparities. And then down towards 6 o'clock, Dr. Michael Duenas will come in and really link vision, health, and environmental justice. We're beginning to link this together now. And he is the Chief Public Health Officer for the American Optometric Association and Associate Director of Health Sciences and Policy. And so he's going to, again, really make the link in looking at environmental factors and vision problems and underserved communities, and that those very same people who are medically underserved are also environmentally burdened. And then Susie will bring up the rear like a good attorney does and tie this all together, hopefully. And again, this is a continuous circle, but she'll talk about some of the social determinants of health that includes environmental justice factors. And then she'll look at some policy initiatives and support for hoping to achieve this goal. So I hope you enjoy this. We've spent a lot of effort, again, to tie this whole thing together. I want to personally thank the speakers for their time and effort. So we will start with Dr. Wilson.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for choosing us. We appreciate that. Okay, my work is at New England Eye Institute, which is a clinical affiliate of the College of Optometry. And we have multiple relationships with community health centers. We have about 15 programs that we work with and growing. And I did want to disclose to you that I do provide technical assistance to community health centers that wish to add eye services, and so I have worked for and been paid by those three entities. We just want to discuss with you this larger framework of how social determinants of health, vision care, and community health centers and wellness all fit together, so that you have a better sense of how vision services are really a part of total health and primary care, and that health centers have a role in improving visual health. So, just examples of health predictors. You can see some of these are based around organizational efforts. Some of these are individual life choices. Some of these are diseases. Some of these are social and economic issues. Even if we talk about neighborhood safety, I don't just mean crimes. Other speakers will be addressing what safety means. And so, I worked in a community health center as an optometrist for over 20 years, and I was so impressed working there that the effort put forth by the team at a health center to make sure patients receive everything that they deserve and have a chance of being healthy in all ways not just healthcare. If we think about health at the foundation level here, and then we think about what are the factors that influence health, it is really socioeconomic that's an overarching issue in how resources are accessed and expended, as well as living and working conditions. And obviously, individual choices in medical care. I think one of the best definitions I've seen of social determinants of health is right here. Conditions in which people are born, grow, live, work, and age, including the health system. And so if you think about social determinants and the impact that those factors can have on health, you realize that, at the base of this pyramid, if you create change in the socioeconomic factors, you probably will have the largest impact on people and families and communities. And then as you work harder and you become more individual, you're at the top of the pyramid, one person at a time, through providing clinical interventions and education and counseling, you have impact, but it's a little bit smaller. So we're going to be talking about all these levels on the pyramid with all the panelists. Now, it took me a while. Maybe I'm a slow learner, but it took me many years to figure this out, and it was not until after I stopped seeing patients and joined the senior management team at New England Eye and started to work with more health centers across the country through my work at American Optometric Association, and also working with the leaders at the National Association of Community Health Centers, that I realized community health centers have this powerful intersection with social determinants of health because of the governance structure. Federally mandated programs that are governed by patients and consumers of services from the community. My colleague here, Lori Berry, will be speaking to you momentarily about an impressive community health center in Lynn, Massachusetts, on the North Shore there. And it was my privilege to be able to address their governing board to discuss vision services. But it is the community that decides, after the federal mandate is met, after health centers provide the essential services, it's the community that decides what the community needs to improve health, wellness, safety, et cetera. And I think it might be the only healthcare system in the United States that's truly governed by patients and consumers, a majority. That's part of the federal mandate. And so, you know, community health centers are more than healthcare facilities. They are true places where people can get well in every sense of the word. And just some examples, you know, that, you know, outreach and prevention, education programs. Health centers may look at public health concerns like, you know, is there affordable housing? You know, what's going on with crimes in the neighborhood? You know, how are we responding to the challenges of substance abuse? What about our kids and after-school programs and preparing kids to be successful in looking at colleges and being successful at college? How do you work with teens so that they make better choices in life and they look at their self-esteem and they build it and they empower healthy choices? And then, of course, behavioral health counseling services, so much of which centers around social relationships and centering those social relationships so that you can take care of yourself and your family members and others. This slide, was really interesting when we found this article, and Dr. Duenas will speak to this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but when we talk about vision problems and we talk about who's at risk, this article was written a few years before we started our work, and it just spoke to the fact that when you have individuals who are poor, individuals from racial and ethnic minorities, individuals with diabetes, those who lack health insurance or have fewer years of education, that, in fact, that group has significant risk for vision problem and impairment. And it just happens to match the demographic for individuals who go to federally qualified health centers. My thanks again to Dr. Duenas in the development of this slide, which we worked on in 2010. We shared this with the Health Resources and Services Administration, and this was looking at, on the left side, community health center patients by the millions. Now, the next group is eye care needs, and now we're moving from individual patients to visits, okay? So a patient may need 3 or 4 visits. If we had community health center patients by the millions, we would be pushing that left side way up and to make everything visits. But suffice to say that our calculation on eye care needs in 2010 was approximately, if we use proxy numbers, we think that there's a need for about 5 million visits for vision services in the health center system of the United States. And currently there's about 512,000, at least that's what we saw from HRSA data from 2010. So we know the gap is there, we know the need is there, and we've made these calculations based upon our understanding of current programs and how frequently people are seen. Again, this speaks to disparities in visual health, which I feel Dr. Duenas is going to handle nicely. But the take-home message here really is that racial and ethnic minorities are at greater risk for vision problems and diseases that adversely impact vision. And the need is clear. It's quite powerful. Actually, on a plane ride down, I was going through a series of papers on my pet peeve, which is glaucoma and racial and ethnic minorities. Another slide. I'm not capable of doing much work. I always ask Dr. Duenas to help me. So here's another slide. Thank you, Dr. Duenas. we worked together on this one as well. That if you look at 2005 as a baseline prevalence, in the year 2050, glaucoma is going to have a prevalence of 12 times that associated with diabetes. So if you just pick one disease, which is rampant and growing, we all know that, how are you going to handle vision problems associated with diabetes? Every single community health center in this country, except Lori's because she already has a vision service, is going to have a serious problem at hand. I remember being at a meeting in at HRSA, and I said to them, well, you know, I know you're doing all this cost savings by adding more health centers, but for those that don't have vision services, have you thought about all the people who are going to end up with vision impairment and blindness, and how you're going to have to outsource those vision services and all those other enabling services to help all those folks, and all the money that you saved is going to now maybe be spent on all of those services. And so they all made little notes, and they said, good point. So lots for us to think about. You can certainly read more about what we think the role is for community health centers in responding to disparities in visual health by looking at this paper, which was a great collaboration with the American Optometric Association Community Health Center Committee. Dr. Primo and myself were on that committee, and Michelle Prozer of the National Association of Community Health Centers and Peter Shin from George Washington University. It's all there. We know that there's barriers to adding vision services. I'm sure that Lori can speak to that challenge. But we're confident that these barriers exist and need to be dealt with. We had George Washington University Department of Health Policy study this for us, and they came up with the same issues. Financial support for startup costs, huge, huge, huge. Technical assistance, doing business plans and designing space, et cetera, it's another big part. And so we've been able to document that. This was done with health centers that receive federal funding. Next steps. Strictly my opinion, I think policy reform must take place. Optometry, I'm going to say must be defined within primary care, because if it is, funding for eye services could be accessible. We like to say first do no harm. I would not want to see Section 330 funding diluted in any way, shape, or manner. So my opinion, I'm willing to spend a few more dollars on taxes so new federal mandate could be directed toward vision services for all health centers in the federal system across the country. Something like that. Or you can use your imagination on how federal dollars are allocated and spent. Technical assistance pathways we've spoken about. Workforce development. If you're named in primary care, the door's open. National Health Service Corps eligibility opens. Schools and colleges have a role to collaborate. And graduate medical education reform could enable optometry to have dollars to train in community health centers. You can read more about it in this paper by a couple of us, including Jim Hunt, who's the president and CEO of the Mass League of Community Health Centers. And that's all I have to tell you. Thank you.
Thank you.